One good thing about this type of service is it's not geared to a bulletin since we don't have one. Therefore, if I get excited and I skip a part, I don't get the mean look from Sarah or from some of the others saying you jumped out of the order of services. So at this time, we are going to make a little change in what we normally do. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, when your power is out, it'd be nice to turn the switch on to the fan so it'll stay cool. And it would always be great that you could turn the TV on because you could watch TV since there's nothing else to do. Or at least just listen to the radio. You find out that your cook stoves are electric, so you can't cook on that. So you find yourself in the dark thinking, which is not good sometimes, is it? When I think somebody usually says, uh-oh, there's trouble. But you know, this last couple of days, I've had time to do some reflecting. I've had time to read God's Word, to talk to Him, and I thank God that my father-in-law had a lantern that he used in a church some 100 years ago that had been sitting on his mantle. And the other week when we were down there taking care of some business for them, he gave it to us and said, here, you might have some use for this. Well, we had use of it. So I asked him, did he have premonitions or something? Did he know how to predict the future? We don't know how to predict the future. We can't. We've tried it, and they've failed. Very few times have they hit it, but most times when we predict, we fail. And in churches, we try to do the same thing. What is the best way of predicting what to do in the future? How does the church exist in the future? And that's hard to do, and that's hard to figure sometimes. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, it's not going to be the one that we're using at the 11 o'clock, which is a faith one for 4th of July weekend. I want us to talk about the Scriptures here in this passage, starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Paul writes, in the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there are to be differences among you to show which you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I have received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together, eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. As we think about that, as we think of communion this morning, as we think about the future of our church, as I came, there were several things that had been talked about. When I first came here, I talked with the committee about, there were things that were mentioned, and things that were struggling, things that were in need of desperate help in this church. And so a big responsibility has been laid upon my shoulders, and that's the direction of the church. So as we think about the direction of the church, there are times when we make decisions that not everybody's going to be in agreement. And I'm not sure that the way the church goes every time, I'm going to be in agreement. And that is the beauty of us as individuals. We do have minds. God gave us those minds. And as we use those minds, we need to use them for His glory, and we need to come together as a body of believers in Jesus Christ. As we've done that this morning, as we've come together, we've sang the praises, we've prayed for those that are sick, we've prayed for those that have lost their homes, but have we really prayed for our church and the ministries that it has in this church to do? In the 21st century, things have changed drastically. They have changed to the point of it doesn't look anything like it did in the 1900s, did it? We don't do anything hardly that we did in the 1950s. We don't do anything that we did in the 1970s. In fact, we probably don't do anything today that we did in 2000. And so we see that things are in a constant state of change. And the church is struggling with that. Every denomination that I have read on is just having this same discussion. What do we do with the church? Why are our churches in decline? Why are our churches struggling to make it from one Sunday to the next Sunday? And as that comes along, offerings are down. Churches are not being able to meet their budgets. Therefore, they're having to cut things out. And as we think about that, as we look about that, some of the things that we have done as a church has simply been this. How do we minister to this community? How do we minister out here? What is worship all about? The other week, I was riding the motorcycle. Andy was on back. And as we were riding, we passed several churches Sunday afternoon that were meeting in the evenings. And as we passed by, it would be a little storefront, maybe even a little church. And as you looked around, you would be lucky to see a half dozen cars there. As you talk to them, you find out that's been about the same number of people there the whole time. They're not growing. They're not reaching. So what is the purpose? If we're coming to worship God and we worship Him on a Sunday afternoon and we see no results out of that worship, what good is it? And this is what I believe Paul is saying here. Some of us are weak. Some of us are sick. And I think that we are scripturally, if we look at our world today, we are sick. We are struggling, aren't we? And as we think about that, how do we minister to this church? How do we minister? The challenge of the church, the challenge of the pastor and the worship team is not just to come here and sing a couple of songs, hear a good sermon, hopefully, and then leave until next week. But I feel that too many times our churches are doing just that, aren't they? If you look in Virginia Baptist alone, which I'm familiar with since I was on the Virginia Baptist board and Bill is on it now, we get these statistics. Each year, called the annual, each church submits in. Now, I know that a lot of these pastors and a lot of these churches fudge on it, so it's not accurate. But neither is any of the polls that we see out today either. How many have ever been actually called on some of these polls? But as we look at this, we see that over two-thirds or closer to 90% of the churches in the state of Virginia that are listed under Virginia Baptist churches have zero baptisms and have been that way for years. What does that tell us? We're not doing the Great Commission, are we? We're not reaching. We're not going out. So as we think about that, we also think about how do we do it? Worship should be a chance where we come together that we worship. Sunday school should be a place where we should teach and train in order to do what? Send out. If you look, now you know I'm a history, and I'm also a Western. I love Cowboys. Even this day, this morning, turned the TV on, and there was Roy Rogers. And I thought, oh, that's just childhood time. You younger kids don't know what I'm talking about there. But that's the thing. In the West, when they first started settling out there, they would set up a fort. And this fort had a twofold setup. One, it was to protect. But two, it was to take those soldiers and train them to do what? To send them out, to watch the territory, to protect. And if you'll notice, the gates never opened out, but they always opened in, didn't they? you could only come in if they opened them. They didn't swing out. You couldn't pull them. And so as I think about that, that is what we should be doing. We should be opening our doors. And we can put a sign out here, and we've got a sign out there that says, y'all come. We could do it in flashing neons, and you know, all of these are putting these new boards up. Y'all come. That's not going to work. What is going to work is for us to work together as a group, to serve. Are you so excited about your worship service here that you take it out here and you share with people so that they can come back next Sunday? That's what it's all about, sharing the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we're in a critical state. God is about to do some wonderful things in this church. I feel it with all my heart. I'm seeing excitement generated. I'm seeing some new faces of people that want to do things. I'm seeing some faces of old people that want to do things. Things are about to happen. God is about to open these doors for Whitfield Baptist Church. The question is, do we want to be on the wagon with God? Or do we want to be on the outside looking in? So as we think about that, we're trying to map out our strategy of what God is going to do. Now, nobody wants to be against the other. I hate that. I hate that in our convention. I hate the quabbles and squabbles that are going on through our state convention and through our SBC, dealing with the liberals and the fundamentalists and all of that. The only person that loses in all of those fights is God. I don't want to see that in our church. We have developed a good, strong unity. We love the Lord with all our hearts, mind, and soul, and we need to put our heads together. So in 2 weeks, y'all are going to be voting whether or not to keep this 8:30 service. Now, I was in favor of that until this morning. You have showed up this morning, but we need to continue to do this, and we need to invite. It is not impossible to get people out here at 8:30 in the morning to show up and fill these pews, no more than it is at 11 o'clock. In fact, it's probably easier right now. It's cooler to get up, take showers, and come outside, and to go out by 11 o'clock, it's going to be scorching. We're also looking at a 6 o'clock service that will be started that will be generated to reach a certain group. That certain group is going to be young people, meaning youth, teenagers, young adults, single, and young married couples. Both the 8:30 and the 11 o'clock service are not reaching those people at this point. We have had several that said if you had one, we'd come. Now, the question that we look at today is simply this. Are we afraid to try anything once? First Baptist Church in Norfolk started a beach ministry. And in that beach ministry, they said, we're going to have church on Saturday nights, and on Sunday mornings, those that come on Saturday night, we're going to send them out as missionaries to the beach. It failed. But they tried it. After it failed, they sat down and they analyzed it. They went back and saw, what did we do wrong? They put prayer to it. And it wasn't immediately, but later down the road, they brought it back a second time. The second time, it worked. And they have, at First Baptist Norfolk, a beach ministry now, or did when I was knowing about it. That was unbelievable. We can do ministry here. We can have multiple services. Andy Stanley and some of the others of these large mega churches are doing 4 and 5 services on Sunday. And I say that is great that we've got that many people in those areas that want to hear God's word. So my challenge to you is simply this. Do we want, first of all, to do God's work? Are we willing? Are we like Isaiah? Here am I, Lord, send me. Are we ready to become those missionaries and to be sent out? If we say yes, then the second one is, what do we want to accomplish through Whitfield Baptist Church? Do we want to do God's will? Do we want to serve Him? Do we want to serve this community? Do we have a heart of passion? Now, I'll tell you, my heart ached. And I've already called Virginia Baptist and said, I know that my disaster relief card has expired. But are there people that are going to any of these areas in Virginia, D.C. area? Are you sending feeding units up there? And can I go even though my card's expired? Right now, no. My heart aches. I would love to go to Colorado and set up a feeding unit. My heart aches for both the physical need and the spiritual need. But as I walk around this town, I see people here that need spiritual need desperately. Desperately. Does your heart ache this morning? Do you want to see it? Now, the deacons had a decision to make the other week, and they looked at me and said, "Preacher, what do you want?" And I looked at them and I said, "It's not what I want. It's what we need for this church. I've got tough skin, and I can make it any decision any way you want to go, yes or no." So the question this morning is, what do you want? What do you want? Do we want to see the 8:30 service disband? Or do we want to say, "Give us a second chance, and we'll show you what we can do"? Now, we've got a good number of people here. And if it hadn't been for Chad coming up here and helping me out, I would look like a bigger idiot than I was. But he pulled me out. This is what we're talking about. We need help. We need people in leaderships. We need people. I mean, I am glad that I've got Bill Lively, who is an ordained minister. And I'm glad we got Robert, who we have just licensed. I'm glad we got others like Mike Castles and George Hams that can lead services if need to. I'm glad we've got spiritual leaders that can take over and lead this church, whether I'm here or not here. You know, but we can't do it by ourselves. Just as your body, Paul writes, simply this, your body cannot work without what? You can't move that finger without what? Everything else working in it, right? If one thing quits working in it, you don't move that finger. Well, folks, as hard as that is, that's the same way as the church is. If we have church members that belong to this church and they're not working for God, then we're not doing this. It takes every member of our church to move. So we need help. Whether we keep this service or not, whether we increase another one, we need help in all of these services. We need musicians. We need people to sing. We need people to pray. We need people to preach. One of the greatest evangelists right now is called named Rick Vye. Rick Vye and I went to school together at Bluefield College, and I got to know Rick very well. Rick Vye was one of the few people that I knew that could go out on the street corner and share the love of Jesus. It didn't care if you were the town drunk. It didn't matter if you were a prostitute. It didn't matter if you walked out of one of those business offices with a suit. It didn't matter who you were. He could stand on that corner at lunchtime and talk to you about Jesus. He could sit there and pray with you and invite Jesus Christ into your heart. Now, not everybody can do that, and I'm aware of that. Not everybody can preach. I'm aware of that. Not everybody can sing. I'm living proof of that. But God does have something you can do, whether it's feeding people like we did, helping people. But the main thing that we all can do is to invite people to hear the word, can't we? In my youth group in Green Pines, Van couldn't share the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he could tell people about Jesus. And then when he got them interested in it, he said, "Well, come on, let's go to my youth minister's house." And sure enough, he'd knock on the door. I'd open the door, and there was Van and some other guy. And he says, "Hey, I brought this guy down here for you to share Jesus with." Van couldn't share the plan, but he could bring them to someone that could. That's a gift. That's a gift. So you see, this is what we're saying this morning. We're not trying to destroy anything except Satan. That's it. But what we are trying to do in this church is to be a lighthouse in this community. We want to share the love of Jesus Christ. We need to love one another, and we need to put our thinking caps on together. We need to put our hearts together in love in everything that we do. And when we do, then these things that Paul just read will not happen. These things that he says, whoever eats unworthily of the Lord is sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many are weak. That is why we have many Christians not reaching and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many are sick, sick of church, sick of the things that are doing. Young people don't trust churches today. And another of you have fallen asleep. And that can be taken in several ways. Literally, people go to sleep when I preach. But I think what it means here is we have laid dormant. We have gone to sleep. We have shut our eyes to the rest of this world. So that's my challenge today. And I felt led to do that instead of preaching this morning to share. I'm not saying that I'm here to end this service, but we need to take a look at what this service needs. Is there things that can be fixed in it? Does it need a break and need to come back with it? Do we need to take it and put it to the side? Get a team together and take a look at how we can make it work as they did at First Baptist Norfolk. How do we make things work for God? This is also going to be happening in 11 o'clock service. We're going to be looking at that. It's also going to happen at the 6 o'clock service as we do the praise and praise worship. Praise worship at 6 o'clock is going to be totally different than these two services. I can tell you that right now. It will be praise and worship. And it will not be three songs, offertory, and then the preacher preach for 45 minutes. It will not be that. It will be praise and worship. We will be singing. And these kids, they're going to express the Lord's. If they want to clap their hands, they're going to clap their hands. If you've ever been at concerts, you've seen them jumping up and down. If they want to jump up and down, that's fine. If they want to worship God, we want them to worship God. And there will be not 45-minute, 30-minute preaching from me, but it will be devotional style. Chunk sermon. That might be a new one. Chunk sermon. Just little chunks of it. But if it reaches young people and it brings them into the Lord and we can develop them, then we don't ever have to worry about putting a for sale sign outside this church, as many have already done. We won't have to worry about disbandment of our congregation, as many have done, if we keep bringing our young people together. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this night, this day that you've given us, and this opportunity to look into your words. Father, thank you for speaking to us. The problem that we see is many times we just don't listen, Father. So this morning, I pray that we will open our ears to hear your word. I pray that we will open our eyes and see your vision. I pray this morning that you will put a burden upon our hearts to love one another, to love you, and to love this community, and to reach out in this community as you have reached out to us. Father, I thank you for the great and mighty things that are about to happen in this church, in our lives, and in this community. And I pray that this could be the beginning of another great awakening. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.